Good morning, I'm Donna Campbell. The long-running saga and ongoing dispute between the Yindjibarndi people and Twiggy Forrest's Fortescue Metal Group continues. After more than 5 years, the Yindjibarndi are still fighting for their rights. Last week, a federal court judge exposed the role that Twiggy Forrest's Fortescue Metal Group played in orchestrating a local pro-mining breakaway group. Joining me on the program once again is Michael Woodley, CEO of the Yindjibarndi Aboriginal Corporation in Western Australia. Good morning, Michael, and thank you for joining us on Karma today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Now, Michael, for our listeners out there that may not know the story, can you just give us a brief history of this dispute?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, look, the dispute that is currently happening within the Yindjibarndi community have started some 5 years ago now, back in 2009, 2010, when the Yindjibarndi Aboriginal Corporation, Prescribed Body Corporate, which is the registered title body corporate, that manages and holds an interest, the native title rights and interest for on behalf of the Yindjibarndi community, rejected and refused to enter into an Indigenous land use agreement with a company called Fortescue Metals Group, FMG. Out of that rejection, obviously, of the Inua, we told FMG that, you know, we don't see the agreement that they're offering us is a mirror image to how other more responsible mining companies deal with native title and also put forward a fair compensation that's going to be beneficial to Yindjibarndi now and long term. Where we thought that they weren't compatible in that same area of compensation, and therefore we rejected their offer and to enter into an Indigenous land use agreement. By our refusal of that offer, FMG had then opted to go through the back door of the Yindjibarndi community and deal with individuals. And by dealing with individuals, they obviously then enticed them into furthering their own nest, looking at what they would achieve from a personal point of view. So personal agendas started to come into play. And out of that relationship, started to snowball, obviously, and more other different people got involved. And I think they're getting involved for really the wrong reasons and the reason that they've never been properly informed about what this organization is set up to do. But the relationship in the community now is, families haven't been really engaging with each other for the last 5 years. One time ago, families used to look after each other and also support each other. No longer share the same views. And it's sad and disappointing that FMG is allowed to do that. The 70,000 years of Yindjibarndi history that's been divided by a mining company who only want to service its own agendas.
Yeah, how sad is that? And I'm glad you mentioned the effect that, FMG pitting essentially family against family for their own benefit. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the effect that this has had on families in community?
Well, it has. You got now, in an Aboriginal cultural system, obviously there's a relationship structure that we have where, elders should be respected. Elderly men are the people who only speak for country and, make the final decision about impact on our country. That's now being challenged, and FMG have now given voice to those breakaway groups or breakaway individuals who now, occupy the Woolloomba Yindjibarndi Aboriginal Corporation. The voice and also the audacity, for a better word, to challenge these elders. And that's never happened before in our community. And then they're the sad things that, also this morning as well, that these individuals, now showing cultural structure and cultural covenants in terms of, who speaks for country, who allowed to speak for country, and how they respect the elders. They don't respect the elders at all. And that's just, you didn't put a mixture of what the young people do in antisocial, community now, take alcohol and drugs into effect. That also, adds fuel to the fire, and families are fighting with families, elders not speaking with elders, family members are speaking with other family members, and this is all an FMG doing.
Yeah, it must be breaking people's hearts to have this happen.
Well, it is. I mean, it breaks my heart. I mean, it breaks my heart, definitely. It also breaks the heart of many other Gibraltar people that that this is what's happening. And all we want to do at the end of the day, if we have a different opinion, is to sit down and discuss it like Gibraltar people, in the same way that our elders used to, you know, sort out their differences by having a quiet, respectful conversation about it. And we can't even do that because they refuse to even do that. They've been controlled to a point where the FMG minders continue to, and control these people in terms of what they can do and what they can say. Sad.
And so, Michael, how did this end up in federal court?
Well, what happened was that, I mean, because of our refusal to enter into an agreement with FMG, which goes back obviously to our country, we put in a claim in 2003 called the Injibani One claim, and that takes in the Hamersley Ranges, some of the Fortescue River that runs through our country, and also what's situated in that Injibani One claim is the FMG Solomon Hub Mine. The Solomon Hub Mine has been operating now from 2010. It's one of the biggest mines in the world that has the capability of doing 60 million tons a year of iron ore. And when we refuse to enter into an EUA that gives FMG a even a free, prior, and informed consent to operate in that country by paying us pittance, by basically ripping us off, we've been told FMG openly and upfront and said that when we go to trial, we are aiming for full exclusive rights, which they only have, strong evidence to also win and achieve. And when we do win exclusive rights, we are going to then be applying to the mining act for a fair and just compensation in the same way freehold, people owning freehold title can do. So the exclusivity gives us that right to do that. FMG mines on what they call a unelevated crown land. You win full exclusive rights, you have the same equivalent to a freehold title. And by someone operating a freehold title without paying compensation, you can apply under the mining warden or the mining act and claim compensation. So we were upfront about our intentions. We would like to deal with it, obviously, without going down that path and dealing with FMG in the same way that we have agreements with Rio Tinto, same way that we have agreements with other companies that operate within our land, and they are open and fair discussions that end up at the end result signing an EUA with the Gibraltar people. And because FMG don't want to pay that fair compensation, they also don't want us to succeed on having full exclusive rights. They all designed and orchestrated and organized a Section 66B authorization, which at this particular time, because the claim is only a claim, individuals have been made applicants to speak and manage the claim on behalf of the Gibraltar people. So what they want to do is to remove those applicants, replace them with the Wilmot applicants, and do two things. One is to sign over a consent determination to the state government, and the other one is obviously to enter into an FMG agreement, which is substandard to more reasonable and fair agreement that we have with other mining companies.
I bet they didn't expect to, come up against a community that, is a bit switched on and are not going to be pushed over. So.
Well, exactly. I mean, no, exactly. And that's what we vowed to do on behalf of the Gibraltar people and our past elders and our future generation, that we are going to, fight for what is fair and speak up for what our rights are. That was the whole, point of trying to, if we could, was to deal with this from an amicable point of view, rather than causing division and having a bad relationship moving forward. But this is something that, at the end of the day, they chose not to deal with us, and our choice, obviously, to stand up for our rights.
And look, this is such a sad and really unfortunate situation, and I know you're going to continue to fight. How are you going to continue to fight this? What's your next step?
Well, the federal court decision was, I think, a very significant decision for the Gibraltar people. What it done is two things. One is that it validated that the Gibraltar, the YAC that represents the Gibraltar people, have operated transparently, openly, and honestly in terms of how we deal with the ongoing native title issue. And the second point is also opened up the intermeddling by FMG in orchestrating, organizing a meeting of the Yabani people in trying to take away our native title rights. And the federal court judge have seen it for what it is. He was, you know, obviously, you know, I can use the word disgusted by this whole thing. And he, you know, awarded, and his final decision obviously was to dismiss the application. So that gives us a fantastic legal base to say that, you know, that what we've been doing for the past 5 years has been in the best interest of everybody. It's been fair, up and honest, like I said. And that I don't think that they could you know, try something like this again. And it now clears the way for us as well, because we have our on-country hearing for the Yabani 1 claim starts on the 7th of September.
And Michael, finally, I was going to ask, so what's the future for your community looking like at the moment?
Well, like I've said many a time, I mean, you know, we continue to put the olive branch out, you know, to the breakaway group, and we continue to, you know, put first, front and center, the, you know, unity process that we would like to, first and foremost, before anything, that we're going to try and bring our community back together. And we're going to continue building on our future visions, our plans to develop our community, which we have been working on a vision statement and our organizational, you know, structure and perspectives on developing three key areas in our community. One of them, first one obviously, is our community with the people. The second one, you know, is our culture, making sure that our language and history and our site and heritage, you know, are being protected and cared for and documented. And the third one is to, you know, use our relationship with the other mining companies that operate within our area to develop our commercial interests, so we can continue to be self-sustainable. And that's our plan. We've been doing that for the last 5 years, and we are making some good inroads into that. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, our family is our family, and we want to also work very hard on that and see if we can end the dispute.
Wow, that sounds amazing, Michael. And best of luck to you, and thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, Donna, thanks for the opportunity.